This is the North Shore Football Preview Show. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell. We are brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, and by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Our big live video game of the week, Marblehead at Danvers. Both teams entering at 2-0. Marblehead coach Jim Rudloff.
I think we've both taken steps forwards in some places and maybe steps back in other, you know.
Danvers football coach Sean Terrio.
Every game has been all it's lived up to be.
In the NEC South, it could be the game of the year. Swampscott traveling to Gloucester. Live radio coverage Friday night right here on MSO. Big Blue coach Bob Serino.
Every practice is the biggest practice of the year, and every game is the biggest game every year, you know, every week.
Gloucester head coach Tony Zerilli.
Is they really making things happen for Coach Serino?
We have commentary and analysis from our own Tim Kearns.
Looking to establish themselves as the favorite for the conference title once again.
Steve Krause from the Daily Item of Lynn.
Yeah, anybody that puts on a Swampscott uniform obviously has an awful lot to live up to.
MSO's John Squires.
I look for this to be a wide-open affair. I look for it to be a high-scoring football game.
And our Harrington Trophy Player of the Week, Sean Larizzi of Swampscott.
Just had the mojo going that day.
This and a lot more coming up on the Football Preview Show. Welcome in to another edition of the Football Preview Show. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for being with us. We have three important broadcast games this weekend. With a preview of those games, here's our own Tim Kearns. Tim?
For MSO News Sports, I'm Tim Kearns, and I was just thinking, this is the first weekend of conference play for Northeast Conference teams and other conferences throughout the state. Gloucester looks to rebound against Swampscott after a 28-12 loss to Beverly last weekend. The Fishmen are going to have to find a way to stop the Swampscott's passing attack, as they were fairly well shredded by the passing of Andrew Morenci to numerous receivers throughout the game last Saturday. In Danvers, there's a big one coming up, and we'll have that one on MSO News Sports. Danvers hosting Marblehead in the large division, and that should be a real war. Both teams 2-0, both teams coming in looking to establish themselves as the favorite for the conference title once again. And Beverly will be taking on Peabody, who looks to continue to improve. Beverly 2-0 on the season and having an outstanding season so far, but they want to avoid that second-half bump that they had against Gloucester where they allowed 2 second-half touchdowns. First half was enough to win the game, but you want to make sure you're playing 4 quarters. For MSO News Sports, I'm Jim Kearns, and I was just thinking.
The thinking man, Tim Kearns. High school football games this weekend here on MSO, live video streaming Friday night. It's Marblehead at Danvers. This is Marblehead coach Jim Rudloff.
I think we've both taken steps forwards in some places and maybe steps back in other. You know, Danvers, for example, does not have those two beasts that they had on the line last year, and we thank God for that. And we've also lost some key players. You know, Garrett Keough, Mark Cohen, Reed Cressy, and some other guys that were huge for us last year. So we both lost some critical pieces, but you know, for Danvers, they still have Andreas, and everything sort of goes through him. But as we found, you know, we could spend all week plotting and planning of how to stop him. But as we found last year in the playoffs, I think we knocked him out of the game in the first quarter and we still lost. So, you know, probably one of the top coaching staffs in the Northeast Conference in Danvers. They certainly know what they're doing on both sides of the ball. And, you know, even when we were in a situation last year where both of their quarterbacks were out, they found a way to beat us. So you have to really tip your caps to them.
Coach Rudloff on Danvers and getting it together for the Magicians this week.
Yeah, the Wakefield game was interesting for us because we really thought that we were ready and we had a very good week of practice. Normally, when we have a bad half or something bad happens, I can usually point to the practices that we've had all week. And last week, I thought we had good practices, but when the game started, you know, we came out, we did very well defensively and offensively for the first couple of series. Then things just started to break down, and it was very uncharacteristic because we had a lot of guys making very mental mistakes is one thing, but playing out of control, you know, overrunning people on blitzes or tackles, A lot of arm tacklings. The tackling was very poor. Offensively, you know, some of our offensive linemen sometimes looked like they didn't realize that the other team was going to try to stop us. And you know, we would stop blocking before the whistle. We would stop playing before the whistle. So a lot of uncharacteristic things that you know, were not pleasing to the eye if you were a Marblehead fan. So the other thing I would say is that, you know, for the second week in a row, we've had blocking in the back penalties and some holding penalties. And that's been frustrating as a coach because those are really unacceptable. You know, we work on those all week long, and hopefully we can clean a lot of that stuff up.
Marblehead coach Jim Rudloff. Danvers coach Sean Terrio knows that this will be a tough matchup again with Marblehead Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a battle. We've played them three times over the last 2 years, two times during the season, and then, of course, in the sectional finals last year, and every game has been all it's lived up to be.
As for his Falcons?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, Matt Andreas has rushed for 360 yards over the last first two games, so he's obviously someone that you got to be aware of. You know, and Taj Coakley has come in and done a great job of spelling him, and I think he has about 15 to 20 yards per carry at this point. You know, but I think as a whole, you know, the offensive line has done an admirable job, considering very few of them have much varsity experience.
Danvers High football coach Sean Terrio. Again, live streaming video of this game, Danvers hosting Marblehead, Friday night right here on MSONewsSports.com. Now, there's another important game on the North Shore in the NEC South on Friday. It will find Swampscott traveling to Gloucester. So it's kind of night one for these two schools in league play. Swampscott coming off a very powerful win a week ago against Lynn Classical. Swampscott coach Bob Serino.
As I listened to the interview from our captain, Sean Larizzi, is what we did is reps, and more reps. And we polished everything up, and we executed. And, you know, our quarterback spread the ball around. Our defense tackled, and everyone did their job. Nobody went off on any tangents on their own. They did their job in both sides of the ball and special teams. So all three of the phases of the game. We made very minimal mistakes.
Coach Serino on the Fishermen.
We take one game at a time, and we just game plan against Gloucester. English and Classical is in our rearview mirror. You know, it's our record 0-0 going into that game. Every game, somebody said to me, I showed up at the high school, "Hey, Coach, this is the biggest game of the year, you know, coming into Gloucester." And I told him, every practice is the biggest practice of the year, and every game is the biggest game every year, you know, every week.
Swampscott High football coach Bob Serino. Gloucester's Tony Zerilli looks at the game this way.
They played right after us. We played Classical, and they played English the next, you know, the next game that first week. And you know, I listened to the game. I watched, you know, was watching the scoreboard, and it seemed like it was a really tough game for them. And then, you know, this last week they played Classical, and I looked at the scoreboard, and all of a sudden it's 35-7. You know, and it's tale of two games. You know, I think English did some things well. I think, you know, Swampscott was a little rusty the first game out, and I think they all together this week against Classical. It seemed like they could score on will. The quarterback, you know, delivers the ball where it needs to go. He puts zip on it when he needs to put zip on it. He lofts it in when he needs to loft it in. He understands the position. He understands how to get the ball to his receivers. And he's got a couple really talented receivers out there that make things happen, make, you know, phenomenal catches against Classical going up the sideline, you know, behind him one-handed. Some circus catches. They're really making things happen for Coach Serino.
Gloucester High football coach Tony Zerilli. John Squires will be by in just a few moments. He'll have some insight and analysis and thoughts on some of the important weekend matchups as well here with us. Plus, Steve Krause joins us from the Daily Item, and Sean Larizzi, our MSO Harrington Trophy Player of the Week, will be joining us as well as part of the program. Other Friday night games, Lynn Classical playing at Revere. Both of these two schools looking for their first win of the year. Winthrop at Lynn English, Salem at Saugus. This is Salem coach Matt Bouchard.
So, many moons ago, I coached with Coach Broderick. I have a great deal of respect for him, you know, and the triple option. You know, defensively, one of those teams that do take quite a bit of time of coaching. It's not an offense that you see week in, week out. But the kids are here, are really excited to go up against something like that. It is obviously, you know, something different, so it adds a new little wrinkle to our practices. But, you know, I think offensively they've been able to move the ball, you know, so we got to be solid up front. And, you know, it's assignment football, you know, option football. It's really kind of making sure you have to execute your assignment or big plays are going to happen. So that's a big thing that we're focusing on this week. And then offensively for us, it's really come down to execution. We've had some really great drives these first couple weeks. There's been a couple hiccups here and there. And some of it is kind of early season type of mistakes that I think each day I'm seeing them clean up and make better. And they've taken ownership of those mistakes, which I think is 90% of it. And they've been working extremely hard to get that going. So this weekend should be an exciting matchup.
Salem coach Matt Bouchard, again, they are under the lights in Saugus Friday night. In other games, Ipswich traveling to Triton on Friday night. The Tigers are coming off a win a week ago against Newburyport at home. They are on the road Friday night. Ipswich coach Kevin Fassett.
Triton's a very good team, and knowing Coach Sheehan, his guys will be prepared. And, you know, he's very well coached, you know, tough team. They execute well, and there's a reason why they're 2-0. You know, I think the coach does a great job preparing them week to week. And, you know, any team that plays Triton, they will have their hands full, but we definitely do. And it'll be a fun, exciting challenge for us. So we look forward to that game on Friday.
Ipswich Tiger coach Kevin Fassett on Triton on Friday night. Manchester Essex will be playing at Essex Tech on Friday. Listen to this exchange with Coach Hutton and the crew on Monday night's North Shore Sports Night.
Jeff, coming up this weekend, you get Essex Tech, and Essex Tech had a really solid win this past week. Their ground game was exceptional. What are you going to do to blunt that attack? Maybe steal the bus?
No, I'd love to put 15 guys on the field if I could. Right? I mean, that's how you stop a team to run the ball all the time. We can sneak an extra guy in there. That'd be great. No, they're a great team, you know, hard-nosed football team. They've had great success in the last couple of years where they were in the North semifinals last year for Division IV. They had a big win in the Tech Bowl last year. And, you know, even though they lost the first week, but it looked like they didn't miss a beat, you know, and they fixed everything that wasn't working on that first week. And to come out, was it 38 or 36-6 or something like that, if I'm not mistaken? You know, they're very well coached, tough kids, and they got a history of success. And then, you know, kids that play with expecting to win, you know, you always have a chance.
Manchester Essex coach Jeff Hutton on North Shore Sports Night on Monday night. Other games Friday, Linfield at Amesbury, Somerville at North Reading, Wakefield playing at Watertown, Melrose at Burlington, Malden Catholic at Malden, Austin Prep playing at Arlington Catholic. Saturday afternoon on the North Shore, our broadcast game at 1 o'clock, Peabody playing at Beverly. This is Peabody coach Mark Betancourt.
I would say you're right. Beverly's offense is kind of breaking out a little bit. I've read the papers and heard what their coaches have been saying about their quarterback, and I think our quarterback's the same thing. He didn't have great games the first 2 weeks, but he's shown that he's capable of that, as the kid from Beverly as well, Morenci. So I think those two guys are going to go head-to-head here and see which one can power their offense.
The Tanners are 1-1, losing to Triton in their opening game, but beating Malden a week ago on the road.
Well, I think every year it's the same. Well, basically, for every team who graduates, a lot of guys up front. Our offensive and defensive line have gotten better, and they continue to improve. You know, offensive line, a lot of that is personality and getting to know each other and working as a group. You know, we've had a lot of kids in and out, and this year we're trying to find those five guys. You know, a great offensive lineman for the Patriots told us that, you know, it's not five guys, it's one fist. And trying to get that from five fingers to one fist to work together as a unit, to communicate, pick up blitzes, and have everybody on the same page is crucial. And I think every high school team deals with that early in the season. I've been happy with the way they've kind of bonded together now. This week we've had a good week of practice so far. We get two hard days left to go here before we get going, and the quicker they can communicate and get on the same page, the more our offensive line improves, I think the more we're going to improve.
Peabody Tanner coach Mark Betancourt. Beverly High School first-year coach Andrew Morenci riding high at 2-0. Another home game this weekend against the Tanners. Coach Andrew Morenci.
Well, Peabody is very physical. They're, you know, they're a big team. Coach Betancourt does a great job. I know they're going to be well coached. I know that they're going to know what they're doing. What they try to do is something that they've been teaching. I know that, you know, Peabody, again, is a ton of prestige, a ton of tradition. They've been good the last few years. Coach has really turned it around there. I respect that program a lot. Geez, you know what? We're taking it one week at a time, and right now it's all about Peabody, and we know that they're going to be formidable, and we are going to have our hands full, no doubt.
Beverly football coach Andrew Morenci. Elsewhere on Saturday, St. John's Prep travels to Everett for its homecoming game at Everett on Saturday afternoon. Georgetown at Lynn Tech. St. Mary's to play host to Taconic, 6 o'clock at Manning Field Saturday. Pingree playing at Middlesex. In college football, Endicott is home for a noon kick on Saturday. It's their league opener. So in a way, even though they are 0-3, they start 0-0 against Nichols. Kickoff at noon. It's Endicott's homecoming as well on Saturday. This is Endicott coach Kevin DeWall.
Yeah, no doubt. We knew going in that those first three games were going to be good tests for us. Those three teams are now combined 8-1, and like as we talked about, likely having good chances to compete for their conference titles. So those were three playoff-type teams that we were going to prepare for. And that's kind of how we looked at it as, you know, we would love to, the competitor and myself and our staff and our team would love to be sitting at 3-0 or 2-1 and trying to win every game we take the field with. We didn't have that, unfortunately, that outcome for those three games. That being said, I think there was a lot of things to learn from and progress from those three contests. And as we head into league play, I think we're a better team despite our 0-3 record than we were obviously when we started the year. So. That's our mindset. We knew, regardless if we were 3-0 in our conference, or excuse me, if we were 3-0 in our non-league schedule, or whether we were 0-3, it's going to come down to how well we do in our conference game. So, starting out 0-0, we play a very good Nichols team. It's 2-1 right now. They're a lot of momentum and upstart for their program. They're playing a lot of young kids over the last year or two, and their coaching staff's doing a good job integrating their new kids. Transfer quarterback on offense that's doing very good things for them, very productive. They're starting a freshman tailback that's right now leading the conference in rushing with productive receivers, a couple young offensive linemen. So they're much more productive on offense, which was one of the things last year our defense was able to do a good job shutting down their offense. Well, now they're putting up some points and controlling the ball a little bit more. So that'll be a good test for our defense. And then on the offensive side of the ball, for us, going against their defense, they have two inside linebackers that are their, you know, captains and leaders. Very good inside linebackers. They're going to be the leading tacklers all over the field. A couple good guys at the point of attack. They run an odd front 3-4 defense with some very athletic DBs. So they're going to do a lot to try to stimmy up playing some nickel and dime packages against our passing game. And really what it comes down to, and as we do every week, we got to focus on taking care of our business on all three phases. And that's our focus this week, is to really put the onus back on cleaning up some of the mistakes that we've kind of made out in the field and maybe left some plays out there that have given those other three teams that we've played some opportunities to capitalize from. And as if we can do that moving forward, I think we're going to put ourselves in good shapes to get some victories here moving forward.
Endicott College football coach Kevin DeWall, they are 0-3, but again hosting Nichols in their league opener Saturday at noon in Beverly. Just ahead, Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn. Also joining us, John Squires from MSO, and our Harrington Trophy North Shore Football Player of the Week, Swampscott Senior Sean LaRizzi.
This is MSO, newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell along with the Lynn Item sports editor, Steve Krause. And Steve, great to be checking in with you again this week.
How you doing, Bill?
Great. Well, Steve, you know, looking back at last weekend's, I think probably the stunning game was, I suppose, not so much that Swampscott won, but the fact the way they won against Lynn Classical on Saturday is they had they just completely were a different team from the previous week, to be honest with you, offensively and especially offensively.
Well, I just think that in both the cases of the Swampscott and to a lesser extent Lynn English, that was about as tough a game to watch 2 weeks ago when they played each other as any game I've ever been to in my life. And life is, it's been a long life. And I've never seen a game that was as stoppy and starty and as herky-jerky and, You know, nobody could get any rhythm going. 19 penalties between the two teams. You know, I would have to think that both coaches after that game went back to their kids and said, look, there is no way I'm going to allow you to play like that ever again. So I'm sure that Chris Carroll ran his English team ragged, and I'll be pretty sure Bobby Serino did too in Swampscott. And it paid off for Swampscott because they came out an entirely different team. That combination there, Frary and Larizzi, I mean, that might be one of the – that's obviously going to be one of the combinations to watch this year on the North Shore. And, boy, if Swampscott plays like that for the rest of the season, they could be heard from.
Yeah. Well, they made it almost look effortlessly offensively, and to say they were beating defenders. The ball was balls were on the right on the money, and it you know, they're creating space for themselves. So it was just really a tremendous offensive performance for them.
Yeah, I you know, anybody that puts on a Swampscott uniform obviously has an awful lot to live up to with that legacy, and I'm sure that Coach Serino reminded those kids at practice last Monday that, you know, this is Swampscott football, and Swampscott football teams don't play like that. So props to them for recovering and having a great game. As for Classical, if there is a shock over that, it's the fact that it was such a one-sided game, obviously, and particularly since Classical was step-by-step with Gloucester the week before. But you know, a loss like that can really take an awful lot out of you emotionally. And, you know, sometimes getting pasted, you can at least go back on Monday and say, oh, well, we just, nothing was going right. But you lose the way Classical lost to Gloucester, that might linger for a little longer.
Yeah. Like to pick your brain here on the prep here as well. They're playing at Everett this week. I guess it's homecoming, I understand, down in Everett this weekend. But what's your take on prep this year?
I think it's going to be it's not going to be a banner season for them. First of all, even if they do play decent, I think Xaverian, which lost last week, you know, that might be a wake-up call for them. I still expect to see them representing the South in the Super Bowl come December. And they are a good team. They might have had a bad week. They might have been a little complacent after. And they might have also been a little too stoked up after beating Everett the week before. I remember last year, St. John's beat Everett. I mean, really beat them in 1 week. And then the week after that, they're at life and death with Malden Catholic. So, you know, sometimes, you know, they are kids. And but as far as the prep goes, I don't know. You know, I think for them, 500 for them is a bad season, where for somebody else it might be a good season. But we may be looking at a 7-4 or a 6-5. It's a tough league. They play tough teams. You know, nothing's a given. I mean, all you have to do is watch the Patriots go into Arizona 2 weeks and win to realize that. You know, something, you know, but I'm looking at a middling season for St. John's.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were there, I think, for the St. Mary's win over Lynn English, right, mm-hmm. last week. And so they're playing what I understand is a pretty good team, Taconic, this Saturday night at Manning Field. But this probably is the of the four high schools in Lynn, St. Mary's right now, it looks like they're going to have the best season of any of them.
It would appear that way. Matt Durgan says Taconic is one of the best teams in Western Massachusetts, and they're in the same division as St. Mary's. So that'll be a really good test for them. Certainly a better test than Dorchester was in week one. And English gave St. Mary's all it could handle in the first half. Just, you know what St. Mary's, what they do, and it's, I shouldn't say it's rare, but it's hard to do, is that they will just beat you physically every game. And Chris Carroll, the English coach, said after Friday's game that he can play, he's going to play all Northeastern Conference teams from here on out. And he says he won't play a team as physical as St. Mary's was. They're just very, very physical, and they beat you.
All right, Steve, anything else you want to share with us sports-wise here this week?
No, just my Lynn technicians had a bad game against Triton, but apparently Triton's pretty good, judging from the way they beat Peabody the week before. I still say watch out for them. You know, don't underestimate this kid. Gravely's a good runner.
Yeah.
And I think they're gonna do some damage in the Commonwealth Conference.
Yeah, good point. All right, Steve, good talking with you, and we'll check back with you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Steve Krause, sports editor of the Daily Item in Lynn, here with us on MSONewsSports.com. This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by John Squires. We're talking North Shore High School football in this segment here, of course. And, John, let's begin by taking a look at some of the – what are some of the highlights as you see them from last week's action?
Well, first of all, I was a little surprised at the ease that Swampscott handled Classicals. We did that game last Saturday. Swampscott won 35-7 and really, really played almost a flawless game. Their quarterback, Mr. Ferry, had a great ball game, and then their receiver, Mr. Sean Larizzi, had just a super game, pulling in three touchdown passes and 150 yards, and Ferry had 255 yards passing. You look at the rest of the. I was a little surprised, not overly surprised, but Central beat St. John's Prep 21-14. And then Beverly kind of handled, the score does not indicate, from one of all my resources, does not indicate, 28-12 they beat Gloucester, but it was 28-0 at halftime. So those are three of the highlight games. And then looking back last Friday night, Danvers won again 30-14, and Marblehead stayed undefeated for that big matchup that you're going to do Friday night over there in Danvers.
Yeah.
Well, that looks us look. I think all three games that we have this weekend are all very interesting. And let's begin with the Marblehead Danvers game. Both of these two teams 2-0, kind of the feature game, I would assume, here on the North Shore. It's our video game as well, obviously. These two teams, as well as other teams in this division, have battled over the last several years. But I have no idea what to expect in this one. I mean, Marblehead apparently did not have a great first half against Wakefield last week, but turned it on in the second half. Danvers, on the other hand, seems to be struggling through some injuries early here, but seems like they're ready to go.
You know, the thing that's kind of interesting is Danvers has not been a Marblehead in quite a while during the regular season. Now, last year they lost in the regular season, then beat them in the playoffs right out of the chute, which was kind of a surprise. But since that game, Danvers has really pulled it together confidence-wise. I look for this to be a wide-open affair. I look for it to be a high-scoring football game, even though both teams have some strengths defensively. But I look for it to be an all wide-open game, and I'm going to go out on the edge, and I'm going to predict Danvers to beat Marblehead this Friday night.
All right. I'm thinking more of a lower score in that game for some reason. I don't know, but I could see it. I could see it either way. Obviously, speaking of scoring, our other Friday night game finds Swampscott at Gloucester. You mentioned a flawless performance by Swampscott. I can't remember a team looking much better, so much better the second week than the first week than this Swampscott team. In their, even though they won in overtime against Lynn English, it just wasn't a great football game. Neither coach would admit it was a great football game 2 weeks ago. However, I think everybody's got to admit what a terrific job Swampscott did last week on both sides of the football. And you already mentioned Frary and Larizzi as far as the passing and catching combination.
The other thing, too, is that Gloucester is very difficult on a Friday night down there. Gloucester does not lose historically two games in a row. And the thing is, Swampscott's going down there with confidence. This is a big, small school matchup. The winner of this game is really in the front seat, yeah, looking at the rest of the division, because if Swampscott can buy Gloucester, they got Saugus, Salem, Revere, and Winthrop, all winnable games. And Gloucester, the same type thing. So, I mean, it should be a real good football game. And here again, going down there, playing Gloucester, and I'm sure Gloucester's going to be pumped up. The crowd's going to be, it's a great atmosphere for high school football. And quite frankly, I don't know what game I'm going to go to this week. You get a couple good ones there, and so it should be a real good ball game.
You do make a good point. I mean, this could be, for that league, the NEC South, this could, you know, Winthrop will have some disagreement with you on this, and I get that, but in a way, this could be the championship game of the conference Friday night in Gloucester.
Absolutely. And the other teams are certainly going to improve. I mean, don't be surprised if you see Saugus knock off Salem and start going on a win track. They got a great coaching staff over there. Then again, Salem is could go 2-1. Revere, you mentioned Revere in the preseason. I'm a little disappointed they're off to an 0-2 start. So they play Lynn Classical, and you have to see how Lynn Classical regroups. And then you got, you know, and also in the division there, you have the Winthrop has Lynn English this week, and is that at the bowl, Billy, or is that at Winthrop? Do you know?
That's at Manning Field. Yeah,
that is at Manning Field. Yeah. So the bowl, I call it, at Manning Field. So it'll be interesting, but it is a big matchup, and it could be a deciding game down the road.
The other thing too, looking over at Saturday's games in Peabody, lost to Triton. Then the first week, and that's a very good Triton team from what we understand. They went down and shut out Malden last week, 7-0. And now maybe they've got the defense going, but they'll need the defense against Beverly Saturday afternoon over in Beverly. And this will be Beverly's third straight home game to start the season. And I think they have another one next week as well, as a matter of fact. But this is a very important game. I know I talked to Coach Mark Betancourt at Peabody this week, and he knows that they've got to compete in these kinds of games.
Yeah, if they want to regroup a little bit, they're going to have to do that. And Beverly may be, now this is very early, but may at this point in the season, may be the strongest team in the area right now. I'm a little surprised that they got out to such a quick start with a new program, but here again, I'm not sure. I don't know the background as far as Coach Morency. Did he keep some of the coaches? Did he bring coaches over? I don't know. That does make a difference. Yeah. It's a new staff. I know Dave Wilb is still coaching the freshman team, but Roger Day, I think, left. He was the offensive coordinator, so it does make a difference. But they're really shooting on all cylinders. And Beverly, I look for Beverly. If Beverly, you're looking down the road, Beverly has another winnable game next week. I think they got Lynn English, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, Beverly could jump out to 4-0, and I think they play 5 or 6 of their home games out of the 7 or 8. So, I mean, they got everything going in their favor. They got the crowd, they got the home field, and now they're starting to win. And another thing, Billy, is all these teams, we talked a little bit about Classical. You have to believe that you can win. You have to believe, and whether it's the coaches or whatever, the kids have to believe that they can win and know how to win when the going gets tough, and Beverly's starting to prove they can do that.
Yeah, that's definitely, and we'll see. I mean, I think one of the things about Beverly is that we, you know, you talk about their offense, and because it's a diversified offense, but their defense, led by Hugh Callis or Calise, their the conference defensive player of the year last year, he looks fantastic again this year, and you know, he'll have a lot to say about how Beverly does.
They also have a kicking game too. They have the weapon in their kicker there. The kicker over there kicked a 41-yard field goal the first week, I think. And then that can be an important weapon in a big game down the road, especially if it's a defensive struggle. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And then another interesting game on Saturday, you got St. John's Prep 1-1 against Everett 1-1, and that's always a war. That's a big rivalry. They're playing over, I think, at the Prep, if I'm not mistaken. And
I don't have that one down. Okay.
Yeah, that should be a beauty. I'm pretty sure it's over at St. John's Prep this
Saturday.
No,
it's at Everett.
It is at Everett. Okay.
But I think it's Saturday afternoon. I have it on my Friday
list.
Yeah, I know. It's at Everett. I know that. And because it's their homecoming in Everett. Okay, John, it's the big homecoming weekend in Everett.
And well, that should be
did you get an invitation?
That should be a real easy thing for Prep to accomplish on homecoming over there. I will tell you, I did talk to somebody, and they've said that the home opener between Xaverian and Xaverian and Everett at the beginning of the season was probably two of the best teams in the state right out of the chute. So don't be surprised to see them in the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right, John, anything else you want to share with us about high school football this week?
Billy, I'm going to put you on the defensive here a little bit. Let's go to some predictions, games you're doing this week. Swampscott, Gloucester.
Well, we don't really like to do that, but I mean, the prediction piece, but I don't know. I think that if Swampscott plays like they did last week, they'd be very tough. It'd be tough to beat them. How about that?
Beverly Peabody.
Well, again, I don't. I haven't seen Peabody, but I've only seen Beverly once. But you know, I think Beverly playing at home, you know, you got to, in what they've done so far, you got to give them a notch, maybe.
And I'll only do it one more time. Danvers Marblehead Friday night.
I have no idea, absolutely no idea on that one at all. That looks like just a great game.
All right, Billy, great talking to you, man.
All right, here he is, John Squires. I'm Bill Newell on MSO Newsports.com. This is MSONewsSports.com. We're joined by Sean Larizzi, our Harrington Trophy Player of the Week this past week. Sean, what a great game you guys had against Lynn Classical.
Yes, it was. I think we were clicking on all cylinders. Just had the mojo going that day.
Well, tell us a little bit about the game, and what was your thinking and the team's thinking going into the contest?
I think we're all just pretty confident coming after last week's overtime win against English. We're all riding on that and just took it from last week to this week, and we played pretty good.
You guys were beating defenders too, right? Your receivers?
Yes, so we knew they were running man the whole game, so all we needed to do was beat our man, and that's what we did almost every single play.
And Colin Ferrari was throwing some nice footballs. I mean, you go up and get it, but there were some terrifically thrown footballs.
All his balls were on the money. Hard to stop that.
Well, so what was practice like going into that game last week?
Well, we knew we had to use the air attack on them since put a lot of people in the box. So we practiced a lot of long balls, short balls, everything around, and Colin was clicking all week in practice. Yeah. Came over to the game.
All right, Sean, anything else about that game at all to share with us?
Nothing. We're on to Gloucester.
Yeah. All right, Sean Larizzi, our Harrington Trophy Player of the Week this past week here with us on MSONewsSports.com.
Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Football Preview Show. Our football broadcast this weekend, live video streaming Friday night, Marblehead playing at Danvers, both teams 2-0, kickoff at 7 o'clock. On Channel B Radio, it will be Swampscott at Gloucester, 7 o'clock kickoff with Rick Moore and Scott Cooper here on MSO. Saturday afternoon, Beverly playing host to Peabody, a 1 o'clock kickoff, MSO Radio, Channel A. A special thanks to our guests, Steve Krause of The Item, John Squires from MSO Radio, Sean Larizzi, our Harrington Trophy Player of the Week, Tim Kearns, and Rick Moore. And a shout-out to our sponsors, the Sylvan Street Grill and Moynihan Lumber. I'm Bill Newell. Have a great weekend, everyone. This is MSONewsSports.com.